We're going to talk about the natural man and what happens to the natural man. And why there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. So I'm going to repeat what we just said. If our bodies get too hot, too cold, if something's too loud, if something doesn't taste right, if it's too bitter, any extreme, any severity whatsoever, our body wants to recoil. And the reason for that is because our bodies are made to survive. So that's not a bad thing. That's just the way God made us. But the way that seems right unto us in the natural that would keep us alive actually works against us in our spirit, because our spirit's opposite. See, our body is made of dust, but our spirit is breath. God made Adam and then breathed the breath of life into him. They're actually opposites. You know, wind is opposite from dust. You get a dust wind, I mean a dust storm, and you got the two together, right? So basically when I go to work with you, I'm going to be working in your heart. And I'm going to be looking for areas of pain, areas of rejection, abandonment, betrayal, loneliness, failure, insignificance, measuring yourself against another person, feeling right or wrong, or all those kinds of things. And the natural part of you, your natural human nature, is going to say, no, I don't want to go there. Get me out. Get me out. And you're going to feel a little bit like you're going to suffocate if I push you there. So if you don't understand what I'm doing, you're going to be like, I didn't come here for this. No, no, no. Get me out of here. Well, and so,
not for me, though.
Well, the natural man.
I don't want to go there.
Well, you because you maybe have already been seeking emotional healing. But I'm talking about the natural man.
Okay.
I'm talking about your diaphragm. I'm talking about your lungs. I'm talking about your lips. How are you going to do that with your lips? You might bite your lip. You might laugh instead of cry. You might swallow real hard. You might take a sigh like, okay, give me a second. Let me get a breather here. Let me start over. Why? Because that's your natural man wants to survive. It's
and
what it does.
I was super open. I still, my body was fighting.
Yes. All of us does. There's not a human being alive. Why? Because it's created that way. Okay, now, once we understand that and you are now open to me working with you and getting down to the emotions and all that kind of stuff, what you're going to find is that certain triggers like socks on your feet or lotion on your face, see, anything like that, that your body has a memory that makes you feel something that doesn't feel good, it's going to recoil from it. So as I'm sitting here listening to you and you're talking to me and you just give me some generalities that you might just think is just kind of like who you are, or maybe because of your age, or maybe because your hormones are changing or whatever. Well, that's quite possibly true. But in addition to that, we have what's called T-1 recordation in your body. So what is a T-1 recording? When you experience, let's say you, first time you ever got stung by a bumblebee. I got stung by a bumblebee on this thumb. Okay, so I remember it the very first time. I was in a clover patch. Loved to smell clovers. Loved the green grass. Loved the springtime. Loved the sunshine. Loved to play by myself on this little hill. I mean, to me as a little girl, it looked big, but now I realize it was a little tiny hill, but I'd go sit on that hill. Well, the first time I saw a bumblebee, I kept trying to catch it and play with it. Well, it wouldn't. Well, I got mad at it. I was like, why are you running from me? I'm going to get you. And so I grabbed the bumblebee and I shook it, and it stung me. Well, the minute that bumblebee stung me, my body took a snapshot. The smell of clovers, the green grass, all my surroundings, the temperature. It actually recorded the temperature. Does my brain know it? Nope, but my T-1 knows it. My snapshot knows it. Intuitively, I know it. It's actually recorded. I actually felt guilty because I got mad at the bee. And I felt mad at the bee because it attacked me. But guess what? I attacked it first. I shook it up like, why won't you play with me? Right? And so all that's recorded in my memory. I was probably 3.5 when that happened. But my body remembers that if all I have to do is just have two of those experiences, I could have grass and a clover, or the smell of a clover on a spring day. I don't even have to see a bumblebee. My body will respond like there is a bee. Now, if it was a very traumatic experience, it could actually make my breathing change and my heart rate change, and I could go into a full-fledged panic attack if I was really, really scared of bees. But I'm not. Actually, I realized bees sting. I went and showed my mama. It itched a little bit, and it was fine. Then I love to catch bumblebees, but I'd put them in a jar, and I'd keep them for a little while, I'd let them go, or I might let them sting a belt, And then I could play with them and let them crawl all over me, because once the stinger's out, they're good, you know. And so what is that? What am I explaining? T minus one. Anytime you had an experience in your life where you felt fight or flight, run or beat something up or someone up, when you felt helpless, your body recorded that instant, and it subtracted a moment in time to say, okay, just prior to this incident, what was everything? And it is the recordation of sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing. Why? So the next time you're in that set of circumstances, or any two of them, your brain will get on high alert. You'll have a little bit of adrenaline, a little bit of cortisol. And if it's a lot, more than two, you might get a lot of adrenaline, a lot of cortisol. That's what's going on. So when you tell me you have an issue with anything that's like uncomfortable, that's kind of out of the ordinary, or some people, you know, are claustrophobic. Some people are scared of spiders. Some people, a certain smell could throw them into a tizzy. Take a Vietnam vet who hears a helicopter. It can throw him into a really bad situation. Why? Because that's a T-1 reminder that will all of a sudden throw the body into a fight or flight mode. So I'm going to be looking for those same things emotionally. And as I find them emotionally, I'm going to be looking at your feet. I'm going to anoint your feet with oil. I'll anoint your head with oil. I'm going to be listening for your heart. Your heart records all of your emotion. It has a brain. It has 40,000 neurites in it. It can think. It can actually remember events, names, places, smells, temperatures, all colors, taste. It remembers all of that stuff. And so from the time 0 to 7, actually even in the womb, not only do you have 23 of your father's chromosomes and 23 of your mother's chromosomes, but you have their chemical ligands that make up your composition of your body and your DNA. So it can record. There was a study done recently with 14 generations of worms. And the reason they did worms is because their generations go real fast. After 14 generations of this, whatever the first generation was exposed to, 14 generations later, even though that worm had never been exposed to the same set of circumstances, it responded like the one 14 generations before it. So we even have recorded in our DNA, therein lies the scripture that the sins of the fathers are suffered on the children to the third and fourth generation. So what does sin mean? Sin doesn't mean lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, not keeping the Sabbath, and not loving God with all your heart, and making it into a self-carved image. No, that's the commandments that you never could do to begin with, that God's going to make happen in your life by way of promise through Ezekiel 36, which is, I'll take out your heart of stone, I'll give you a heart of flesh, I'll fill it with my spirit, and ye shall walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my commandments. So, when you miss the mark, when you are a forefather of your sin, what does that mean if it's not lying, cheating, stealing? It means missing the calculation that you're loved by God. When you miss the calculation that you're loved, how would you miss that? You feel rejected. You feel abandoned. You feel forgotten. You feel whatever. Then when you feel those feelings and you miss the mark that God loved you, that then produces lying, cheating, stealing, blah, 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 blah. Because that's called lasciviousness. So in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, when you go past your feelings, you give yourself over to all manner of lasciviousness. So when you go past your feelings, you miss the mark. You miss the calculation. Let me show you how feelings is a calculation, okay? If I take this calculator and my eyes didn't work and my ears didn't work and you can't tell me what it is. So my eyes don't work, my ears don't work, and I can't. What else would I use to know what this is? My feelings. I would say, oh, this is a rectangle. It's smooth and it's got two buttons over here and a button there, and I really couldn't use it very well without my eyes and my ears. I'd be like Helen Keller, but I could get some revelation about what this is just by feeling it, correct? How did Helen Keller learn to talk? Like this. They put one thumb on the throat and one thumb on the lip and one right in front of the lip. Why? So she could feel the nasal sounds, the breath through the lips and the shape of the lips, and the vibration of the throat. So Helen Keller used vibration or frequency to learn to talk. and understand. Your skin does the same thing. Your skin receives frequency. But it doesn't just do it in the natural sense of like hot, cold, the texture of this this fabric, or the texture of the carpet, or a splinter. You know, your skin can do that, but it can also feel your feelings. Why? Because to feel and to feel are the same thing. One is you're feeling something tangible, and another one you're feeling something intangible. One, you're feeling something you can see, and another one you're feeling something you cannot see. Well, I can't see the kingdom of God with my eyes. I can't hear the kingdom of God with these ears. But Jesus taught us that we have eyes and ears in our heart. And that's through my feelings. Why? Because it's a form of eyes and ears. So when I lay my hands on you, I'm going to be looking for and listening for the kingdom of God that's in you. And what's in your kingdom? More than likely, a whole bunch of suffering. Why? Because you too are human. You came into this earth to know Jesus Christ. That's what you came here for. You came here that you might suffer with him, that you could know him. And so we wonder, God, if you love me and you sent me here, why'd you let me suffer? That's because we forgot about 1 Samuel 9:9. And we forgot about 2 Timothy 1:9. And we forgot about all the promises of before time. Did Jesus know before time that he was slain before the foundations? Yeah. Did he suffer before the foundations? Yeah. Did he foreknow you and give you grace before time ever began? Yeah. Why would God give you grace before time if you didn't even need it? See, that don't make sense, does it? Yeah. Unless you understand what he gave you grace for. Well, in that same text, it tells you. He said, I gave you grace because I saved you and I called you. Well, what did he call us for? That word call means propose to you and ask you to marry him, to be his bride. Well, what would a bride do? Well, every woman knows that a true wife, her whole purpose is to know her father's heart. Well, actually her husband's heart. And when she knows her husband's heart and her husband knows her heart, she can't resist herself. She'll have to be one with him and have his babies. But if a man don't know her heart, she just feels like a prostitute. So we as women have spent our whole lives trying to get in our husband's heart, and they won't let us in. And we try to get in our own heart, and we don't even know how. Well, that's where Jesus said the kingdom of God is, and few be there that find it. So that's what I'm going to be looking for today. I'm going to be looking for your heart and all the brokenness in it, and I'm going to show you why you came to this earth. Another word for husband means farmer. And we're in the heartland. And what do we do in the heartland?
Harvest.
We farm, don't we? Yeah, we farm things. And so farmer also means husband. It means one who plants the seed in his wife. So Jesus is the farmer and your husband, and he puts word in your heart. But when he put the word in you, the word has to go into the ground and die. Don't we put seed into the ground so it can die? Then it can bring forth fruit. Jesus is the word that came into the earth to die. You're made in his image. You too are word that came into the earth to die. That's what you came here for. And Jesus said, unless you die, you can't live. If you find yourself, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life, you'll find it. So you actually came into the earth to lose yourself. You came into the earth to suffer and to suffer with Christ. And he even told us, he said, now look, if you eat of this bread and this cup and you don't do it in remembrance of me, you're going to become weak, sick, and yea, some sleep. But if you'll eat the bread and cup in remembrance of me, you'll live. So we're going to take all your sorrow and suffering that your heart is ready to deal with. It's not going to deal with everything in one sitting. So how do I know what it's ready to deal with? I'm going to listen with my fingers and my hands. I'm going to lay my hands on you. I'm going to listen to your heart. How am I going to do that? My hands receive chemical ligands and frequency. Works like an antenna. And I'm going to feel with my heart what I feel in your heart. My heart's going to connect with yours. Jesus said it like this, Father, I pray that they would be one in me and you, even as we're one. And Father, I pray that they'd be one with each other, just like me and you are one. So when I lay my hands on you, I'm going to say, Father, Jesus, pray that I could be one with her. I want to know her heart. I want to feel her heart. And your heart will only give me what you're ready to deal with. It won't give me anything else. It won't tell me anything that you're too ashamed for me to know. It won't tell me anything that you're too scared to deal with. It'll only tell me what you're ready to deal with. It's your heart's actually crying out and saying, I need help, but nowhere, everywhere I go, I can't find help. I'm still stuck. Please help me. And so I'm gonna help you carry the log that's been on your shoulders for a long time. And we're going to lay it down. And we're going to chop it up in little pieces so that we can consume it one little piece at a time because it's too heavy for you right now. Okay? So as I feel your feelings, I'm going to become one with you. So is Jeannie and so is Kelly. We're all going to become one with you. We're going to weep with you and we're going to rejoice with you. And so I want to tell you this so that you won't be scared of what your heart tells me, because it's not comfortable to do this. That's why your natural man's going to want to run. So when your natural man begins to try and run and breathe and swallow and cough or whatever it does, I'm going to say something to you like this. I'm going to say, you know, if you want to hold on to that, you can. Or if you'd like to let go, that's okay. And so we're just going to be here with you when you let go. And we'll weep with you. And we'll rejoice with you. Because your natural man is going to go, no, I don't want that. Your heart's going to go, yes, we do. So we're just going to let your heart be acknowledged today. We're going to let your heart live. We're actually going to wake it up. We're going to give it eyes to see and ears to hear. And we're going to resurrect the dead. And we're going to heal the lame and cleanse the leper all at the same time. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.